نحمد الله صلى الله عليه وسلم الكريم. Last week we stopped at the ayah where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says the following, and just to cover one ayah back where it says أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وقلنا يا آدم اسكن أنت وزوجك الجنة وكلا منا رغدا حيث شئتما ولا تقربا هذه الشجرة فتكونا من الظالمين. Allah uses the word وقلنا Ibn Kathir and also Allama Suyuti talk about this. The question remains, why does Allah say وقلنا? Allah didn't have to say وَقُلْنَا and we said to Adam alayhi salam. It's actually Allah. It's not, Allah doesn't need to do mashura or sit down and talk to the angels and ask the angels for their opinion. Allah doesn't need to do that. Yet Allah is saying وَقُلْنَا because Allah is showing us humility is a very important thing. That even though you as a person can say, I support my family, I give my family X amount of resources. You can say that as a father, as the one that is in control. But it's better to say, we as a family, alhamdulillah, are doing well. You can say, I'm supporting you, and therefore you're doing well. But it's better to say, we are doing well together. It shows humility. And Allah is teaching us humility here. He says, وَقُلْنَا. He didn't have to say, we said. Allah could have said, I said to Adam alayhi salam. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching us the value of humility and how important it is. Even when Allah is upset later on, we will find out, but He uses the word Ya Adam. And the word Ya is to show affection, to show love, and to show goodness. And thereafter He says, you stay here, not only you stay here, but your wife also, reside in Jannah. That means Jannah, according to the scholars, is incomplete without a partner. And that's the idea of Jannah. And that's the idea of this world. That if you want to attain success, you always need a good partner. And many young people don't realize the importance of a good partner. When they're young, they want to settle down, they want to move on with their life. And they don't look at the consequences that if you have a bad partner, or a partner that doesn't share your values, then he can create a lot of problems later on in life. So Allah says, essentially, stay, you, your wife, enjoy yourself, do what is necessary in a good way, as I would like for you to do. But there is one condition, وَلَا تَقْرَبَ هَذِي شَدْرَ. Just don't go near this given area, this given tree, because if you do that, then you'll become amongst those that are oppressed. That's where we continue from. Now Allah says thereafter, فَأَزَلَّهُمَا الشَّيْطَانِ, that shaitan made them slip. That means shaitan caused an error to take place. He sort of tempted them to go towards this given tree that they were told never to go towards. And this is the trick of shaitan. If you look at anyone, the mistakes that we have made in life are what? Let me look young, let me look healthy, let me get more money, let me live forever. In fact, if you go to any store right now, this is what they're all promoting. They're all promoting wear young looking clothing, look fashionable, look like you're going to live forever, put makeup on, and look young, and you'll never look old. And when you look young, your benefits are going to be this, this, this. That's what the ploy of shaitan is. That's the ploy. And shaitan tempted them. He gave them this idea, you go near this forbidden tree, oh, you'll be given enormous amount of luxuries. In other words, one of them being, for example, you can live, you can enjoy, etc., etc. But they didn't realize that when they went near the tree, فَأَخْرَجَهُمَا مِمَّا كَانَا فِيهِ, it became for them a means to come out thereafter from paradise. So therefore, from this ayah alone, we realize that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created guidelines. Guidelines for everything. Just like when you drive on the road, there are guidelines. Don't go above 25. Don't go above 55. Don't go above 65. There are guidelines. The guidelines are there for one purpose. So you may live longer, hopefully. Inshallah, you won't make an accident. You'll be more safe. Wear a seatbelt. All these rules people have made up. Why? For your benefit and our benefit. Same thing, the rules of religion are for our benefit, even though we don't know of it. stay away from haram, stay away from pork, stay away from gambling, stay away from eating meat, وَلَا تَأْكُلْ مِمَّا لَمْ يُذْكِرَ اسْمُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَإِنَّهُ لَفِسْقٌ, stay away, إِنَّمَا حَرَّمَ عَلَيْكُمْ مَيْتَةَ وَالدَّمَ وَلَحْمَ الْخِنْزِيرِ, etc. Stay away from all these impurities, all these wrongful things. Allah is saying it very clearly. Stay away from zina. It's tempting. We all may be inclined towards it. Allah is saying, just stay away from it. Just stay away from all these bad things, because if you go towards it, then you will be taken out of the rahmah, taken out of the mercy, taken out of the compassion, taken out of that which is blessed. And this is the lesson you learn here, that when they went towards it, Allah said, now leave, and they were taken out of from a lot of good. وَقُلْنَا هَبِطُوا بَعْضُكُمْ لِبَعْضٍ عَدُوٍ, and Allah SWT only removed them, it said, اِهْبِطُوا مِنْهَا, that go away from here, go down from here, move away from here, and go upon earth, live on earth, وَلَكُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ مُسْتَقَرُّ وَمَتَاعٌ إِلَىٰ حِينٍ, go away from here and live on earth for a specified time or for a while. And Allah knows the specified time. So the punishment for the wrong was coming to earth. In fact, there's another hadith of Rasulullah ﷺ that mentions there was a man, he sinned, and you know this hadith, and inshallah some other time we'll talk about it. He sinned and he sinned and he sinned. And the solution was, leave your environment. Now that you have done wrong here, if you continue staying in that given environment, you'll see the same people over and over again. And when you see the same people over and over again, you get tempted. And you get tempted to do the same wrong that they are doing and the same wrong that you have done. So Allah is teaching a lesson here, that when you do wrong, there is a punishment. Here the punishment was, go away from Jannah. Go away from this blessed place. In the hadith we learn, the case of that individual was, the punishment was, go away from this given city. Go to another city and start your life fresh. And you know the hadith very well. He was walking, walking, walking. He went. Eventually, the angel of death came. The angel of death wanted to take away his life. There were two angels and they were fighting. There was an angel of death that takes away the life in a nice way, in a good way, in a peaceful way. And then there is another angel that is appointed where they take out the life of the person in a way that hurts a lot, especially if you are a bad individual, and may Allah protect us. So the angels were fighting amongst themselves or arguing, no, I must take away because he never did any good. The other one says, no, he's closer to his destination where he's going to do good. And eventually it was decided, and of course there's this different tashri' about it. Some say, according to some, the earth contracted, or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it such that he moved the earth where he was more closer to the place he was going, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knew of his intention, and because of his action in working towards the intention, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it easy for him and blessed him with the good angel taking away his life. And the lesson from that story we learn is multiple. One of them is, once you make hijrah, once you go away from the wrongful place, change your niyyah, change your intention, that you will never go towards the wrong. There are so many people that I meet that come from other countries, many, many different countries. The young boys, they come here. And this is what they'll say, Sheikh, when I left my country, when I left my so-and-so place, I made the intention, I'm not going to eat haram. Now they're inviting me at a certain party. If I go there, I'll be forced to eat. How do I not go? And you'll ask him, but why all of a sudden you don't want to eat haram? He says, when I left my country and I sat in the plane, I made this niyyah, oh Allah, I'm going, I'm going to let go of bad things, I'm not going to do it. Many people, some people, they made the niyyah, they'll never eat haram. Some people, they made the niyyah, they'll never make zina. Some people made the niyyah that they'll be very good to their mother and father. But once they come, they'll always support their mother and father. And they come in the office and they'll cry and they'll say, this month I don't have a job and I want to help them. What can I do? What do I say to them? Now that I cannot help them. So everyone has made some good niyyah when they made hijrah. Now we have to think of that niyyah that we made and be strong on it, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can help us in becoming stronger people. So regarding this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, go down as enemies to each another. Now why did Allah says, ihbitu wa qulna ihbitu ba'dhukum li ba'din adu? Why did Allah could have said, go, ihbitu minha, go from here. Why did he say, ba'adhukum li ba'adhin adu? And this is something you'll realize, that insan, one of the punishments that took place from Jannah to here is throughout your life, whoever you are, if me and you became the best of friends, a day will come by when you don't like me and I don't like you. That's how it'll be. Whoever it is, wherever they are, whatever group you are part of, there will come a point where even your wife, you can be with her for 100 years. There'll be days in which you look at her and say, what do I like in you? I don't even want to see you. She looks at you and she'll say sometimes, what did I marry in you? She'll look at your old picture and say, you used to be so good 50 years ago, but look at you now. بَعْضُكُمْ لِبَعْضٍ عَدُوْ It will happen. It happens, Sheikh. Am I right, Sheikh? That's joking. Sheikh is very good looking, alhamdulillah, so no problem. So this is the problem, that even though you are together, this is the fitrah of insan. Allah made it from back then. Now you'll ask, how did Allah make this fitrah? See, when Adam alayhi salam was sent down to earth, it comes in many places. For example, in the spinal cord, in the bottom of the spinal cord, there is a DNA, right? When a person dies, the entire body in the grave, of course Allah knows best, but everything comes to an end. But that one part, it remains. And it collects, and it remains, and it maintains the DNA. That's what scientists have said, right? Is that true? That's pretty accurate. That's what they say. Yes, exactly. And the Quran talks about aspects of that too. And the point we're trying to make is, and that's why when you study fiqh, they say that reproduction is actually from that part. When you study some books of fiqh, it says that that's where the things come out from that create for next generation to come into existence. So when Allah says you become enemies to one another, that's what is referring. They had the DNA code in them. Adam and Hawa alayhi salam, they both had the DNA for life in them that will continue. Because when they got together, that's how we come from. That's where we come. So this ayah applies not only to them. Some say it is khas to them. Majority will say it is aam to everyone. You see? So it can be both. It applies to them, but it also applies to us because of the DNA structure that was in them. So he says, وَقُلْنَا هَبِطُوا بَعْضُكُمْ لِبَعْضٍ عَدُوٌ And this is the pattern that will come. وَلَكُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ مُسْتَقَرُّ وَمَتَاعٌ إِلَى حِينٍ And of course, go to earth, live on earth, live on it, and take benefit from whatever you can take benefit from the earth. Mustaqarru actually means mustaqarru wa mata'un ila hin. Go and take benefit from the earth for a period of time. So Allah is telling them and telling us, this earth is very, very short. 50 years, 70 years, 100 years, 110 years. Well, they say the oldest lady in the world, somebody was saying, is 116 years old right now living. I don't know how true it is, but she's about 116 years old. So we don't know how long she'll live. But anyway, it says here, go, spend your time, pay the price for the mistake you made, and inshallah, Allah will make it easy for you. فَتَلَقَّى آدَمُ مِنْ رَبِّي كَلِمَاتٍ فَتَابَ عَلَيْهِ Fa is saying here, that after all this took place, then. That means there is a pattern, there is a sequence, and the time frame is limited. فَتَلَقَّى Adam. Then Adam alayhi salam received Adam. مِنْ رَبِّي كَلِمَاتٍ فَتَابَ عَلَيْهِ Adam alayhi salam received some phrases, received some words, received some teachings from Allah, and we'll talk about that. And when he applied those teachings, thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had pardoned him. The lesson here again, see, the idea of talking about Adam alayhi salam is not because we don't know. Everybody knows the story of Adam alayhi salam. Everybody knows it. The issue is not whether you know the story or don't know the story. The idea of tafsir is not whether you know Arabic, don't know Arabic, know the Quran, don't know the Quran, know what is being said or don't know what is being said. That's not the idea, because non-Muslims are also teaching tafsir in universities. The idea of tafsir is to learn from the good things of others as well as from the mistakes of others and apply it in our daily life. So Allah says, فَتَلَقَّى آدَمُ مِنْ رَبِّي كَلِمَاتٍ فَتَابَ عَلَيْهِ. Allah SWT taught Adam alayhi salam some words, some things that are very, very specific. And the idea for teaching those words was to teach us how to seek forgiveness in the wrongs that we have done. But Allah says, إِنَّهُ هُوَ التَّوَّابُ الرَّحِيمُ. As far as Allah SWT is concerned, He is most forgiving, most merciful. Now, we will talk about the words, inshallah, later on, what those words are, inshallah, when time permits. Let's continue with what they say over here. He says, قُلْنَا هَبِطُوا مِنْهَا جَمِيعًا فَإِمَّا يَأْتِيَنَّكُمْ مِنِّي هُدًى فَمَنْ تَبِعَ هُدَايَ فَلَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ. Allah SWT says, قُلْنَا هَبِطُوا مِنْهَا جَمِيعًا, that go down from here. That means go from Jannah, go away. فَإِمَّا يَأْتِيَنَّكُمْ مِنِّي هُدًى. If they comes to you, فَإِمَّا يَأْتِيَنَّكُمْ مِنِّي هُدًى. That if there comes to you guidance from me, Allah is saying. And that means, hear what he's saying, Allah was so angry that, you know, sometimes when a father or mother get angry at the child, what they say? I don't know if anything goes in your brain. That's what they say. They're telling the child, I don't know if anything goes into your brain when I talk to you. Well, logically think, if the father or the mother really think the child is stupid, then they won't even say that. If a person is stupid, are you going to tell them that I wish something goes in your brain? No. Because you know they are smart, and because you know that things will go in their brain, you tell them, you are so silly, you don't understand. What you're saying is, you are smart enough, but you're not using your brain. That's what it means. Now Allah SWT is teaching us something here. He's so upset, he's saying, if guidance ever comes to you, فَإِمَّا يَأْتِيَنَّكُمْ مِنْ هُدَى فَمَنْ تَبِيَ هُدَىٰي. That if guidance ever comes to you, then, and you follow it, then you'll be given, inshallah, guidance. Allah is trying to say to them, you know, I gave you the best of best. I gave you Jannah. I gave you everything. I gave you basically the entire world and much more. But you wanted to do something wrong. I told you the only one condition I had, don't go near the tree. And you couldn't listen to that one thing. Now I want to see if you're going to listen to all the advice I'm giving you when you come to earth. That's what Allah is saying. So Allah is saying, فَإِمَّا يَأْتِيَنَّكُمْ مِنِّي هُدًى فَمَنْ تَبِيَ هُدَىٰي. Now that you're going to earth, I'm going to give you some guidance, inshallah. And I hope that you will follow. And if you do follow what I'm saying to you, فَلَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ, then there won't be any khawf, there won't be any fear, there won't be any unwanted challenge upon you, and there won't be any grief for you, even though you made a mistake. So Allah is teaching something very important, that even after you have made a mistake, if you turn to Allah, you make tawbah, you make istighfar, then Allah will guide you, and He will turn the negatives that you have been part of into that which is positive, inshallah. وَالَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا وَكَذَّبُوا بِآيَاتِنَا. Then Allah says, but there are those people out there, they will always reject. They will always disbelieve. They will never want to follow that which is good. وَالَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا. They will disbelieve, they will deny, they will not accept, they will not go towards what? بِآيَاتِنَا. Towards our ayah, towards our signs, towards our goodness, towards our blessedness. Allah says, don't become like those people. Your job is to listen. Even you make a mistake, make right on it and do good with it. But if you become like those people that disbelieve and those people that deny, Allah says, أُولَٰئِكَ أَصْحَابُ النَّارِ. They'll become the ashab. What is the ashab? Ashab is companion. Like you said, sahaba. Sahaba are companion. So people, when they don't want to do right and they want to go towards kufr, they become ashabun nar. They become the companion of the fire. It's a very serious thing here. Meaning, they don't just get burnt. One is you get burnt, you put your hand on fire and you move it out. Ashab means you will be put in the fire and there won't be a separation between you and the fire. It'll become one with you. That is why Allama Suyuti talks in Jalalain. He makes mention that on the day of in Jahannam, people won't be just put in fire. They'll be put in fire, and in their skin, they will be like how you get these bits. You know when you put bits or this, what's the thing you put in fire to make it?
The oven?
No, there's something you put on, when you're making barbecue. You put those little things in there. Yeah, it's coal, and in the coal too, sometimes they put certain things. Basically, what I'm trying to say is, it's not only the coal that is burning. It's other things that are put with the coal, or in the wood, or with the wood, that creates that extra fire. Allah says, Ashabun Nar, they become Ashabun Nar, meaning that not only are they burnt, they become the companions of fire, whereas they are burned from the outside, but also inside, there are things that create a type of burning, feeling, sensation, and reality for them. Now, why does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say this? He's saying this simply because he's trying to say to the people that don't want to become faithful believers that this will be the outcome, hum fiyah khalidun, and in it they will dwell forever and ever. Inshallah, we'll just do one or two more ayah from here. Thereafter, Allah says, Ya Bani Israel, O Bani Israel. Now, why does Allah talk about Bani Israel? As I've said previously, we talk about the Bani Israel not because we hate the Jews, not because we don't like them, not because they are, what do you call this, people that we must pick on to feel good about ourselves. No, Allah is telling us about them so we don't make their mistakes. That's what the whole Quran is. Allah has no time to make fun of Jews and make fun of Christians and make fun of Qarun and make fun. That's what Allah is all about. Allah is teaching us about them so we can learn from the mistakes. He says, Ya Bani Israel. And Allah says, Ya Bani Israel, in a manner of love. That Ya Bani Israel. He's saying, Oh Bani Israel. In other words, you know, I really have goodness towards you, feelings towards you, love towards you. I would have hoped that you would have made a good decision when I gave you advice. اذكروا نعمة الله يا بني إسرائيل اذكروا نعمة الله. He says, Oh Bani Israel, remember the ni'mah of Allah that He shared and He has given you. What type التي أنمت عليكم, that I've given you a very, very great favor. And we'll talk about the favors inshallah down the line. I mean, there were so many different favors. They were given shelter, they were given various types of benefit, they were given, even though they were punished, when they were being punished even, Allah was giving them manna wa salwa. Imagine you are being punished, and as you're being punished, Allah is still giving you good things. That shows that Allah is not wanting to hurt us beyond necessary. He still wants good for us, even though when we are going through challenges and difficulties. So, O Bani Israel, remember my favor towards you, the favor that I've given towards you. Anamtu alaykum wa awfu bi'ahdi ufi bi'ahdikum wa iyaya farhabun. And the only thing you had to do in reality was be good to me. You had to fulfill the promise. Whatever promise you made, the covenant you made, you had to fulfill that. And if you had fulfilled that, I would have given you in abundance. However, you chose to do otherwise. So instead of listening to me and doing the right things, you chose to do your own thing. And one of the pledges that you had made is that you will fear وَإِيَّايَ فَرْهَبُونَ, that you will fear Allah and Allah alone. And this is a pledge every Muslim makes as well. That we thank Allah for the ni'mah that is given us, but at the same time we also are making a pledge. And the pledge is that we will fear Allah, meaning we will have taqwa, meaning we will do the right thing. And we will not do wrongful things as we live our life. That's the pledge we all make. And this is a very difficult pledge to keep because we have different temptations all the time. I mean, you go to the store, you go to a Muslim store, the chicken price may be, how much, $5? $4.50? I don't know, I try not to eat too much meat. And you go to Smith's, how much is chicken over there? You see the ads, you don't look at papers?
Yeah, it's like $8 for equal.
No, chicken is very cheap.
Yeah, 199
cents.
No, the big one.
So you go to Smith's and you pay 99 cents. You go to a Muslim store and you pay $2.53, $3.50. Yeah. It's the same chicken, but وَإِيَّايَ فَرْهَبُونَ. One is cut in the way Allah wants it to be cut, and the other is just goes through a machine and they slice it. Now, from a different point of view, both are chicken. I don't understand why one is 99 cents and one is $3. It doesn't make, it's not like one chicken is coming from Jannah and the other is coming from Jahannam. I don't think it is that way. They both are chicken. Why one is a dollar and the other one is how much? $3. $3. It doesn't make sense to pay 200% more. I mean, 200% is a big amount. It's a very big amount. So, inshallah, if Muslims maybe, like for example, some non-Muslim companies, what they are doing now is they're getting smart. They have a big place, and in the big place, they have a Muslim section and a non-Muslim section. Because they are smart, they're saying, chicken is the same chicken that Muslims are eating and non-Muslims are eating. The only difference now is how it is slaughtered. So they're saying to the Muslims, you come use the halal side, you cut it over there, and then everything else is done the same way. How they take out the feathers, everything. So that way Muslims can pay less. But Muslims got smart. You know what they did? They said, yes, we'll come, we'll use that facility, but when it comes to selling it, for the halal label, we're going to charge 100%. Just to put a label. We're going to put, so that means whatever the price is, they will continue doing, adding on more to it. So the lesson we are learning here is, we made a pledge to eat halal, we made a pledge to do good. But businesses too have made a pledge. That's why it comes in the Quran, the Hadith, we learn that Siddiqeen wa Shuhada, Allah SWT says in the Quran that those that are the Shuhada, those that are the Siddiqeen, those that are good individuals, and also it comes in certain riwayah, if you are a business person and you do halal business and you do it in a way where people are happy with you and they are willing to support you and you are not greedy. Now, nobody says business people must not buy nice houses. Yes, buy nice houses, nice cars, but don't be greedy. Do good things. If you did good things and you did good business in a halal way, in a way where you benefited society, on the day of Qiyamah, you will be resurrected with the Shuhada and Salihin and the Anbiya. That's the promise Allah makes. So in this given ayah, we all made a promise. We all made a promise. A promise to be good, a promise to be sincere, a promise to be good to people. Now we have to remember the promise and not do things that will hurt other individuals. And the only way you will not hurt other people is if you fear Allah. Once you let go of the fear of Allah, then you start doing many wrongful things out there. And we'll end off now, inshallah, with the last ayah. وَآمِنُوا بِمَا أَنزَلْتُ مُصَدِّقًا لِمَا مَعَكُمْ وَلَا تَكُونُ أَوَّلَ كَافِرٍ بِهِ. Allah SWT is saying, believe in what I have revealed in the Quran, that وَآمِنُوا, whatever I've said in the Quran, believe in it, accept it, and follow it. And وَلَا تَكُونُوا أَوَّلَ كَافِرٍ بِهِ. And do not become like those individuals that rejected. Do not become like the first rejecters. Do not become like those people that, you know, the truth is given to them, but they wish to live a life that is against that which is driven by the commands as mentioned in the Quran and Sunnah and Hadith. And the example of this in the tafsir is generally like that of the Jews. The Jews were given the truth, they were given that which is good, and even Jews themselves will say that amongst them there were those that rejected and they were wrong to reject. So do not become like those individuals that have been given the truth and they are going away from the truth, or they went away from the truth in exchange of what? Enjoyment of this world. Allah says, don't become like that. Believe in what I've revealed, follow what I have sent down, use it as a method of guidance. That way you can attain goodness in this world and the hereafter. How can you stop yourself from doing wrong? وَلَا تَشْتَرُوا بِآيَاتِي ثَمَنًا قَلِيلًا. That you should not trade the verses of Allah for the little benefit of this world. That means if Allah says stay away from haram, stay away from it. But you, and do not say this is America, times have changed, everybody else is doing it, therefore I can do it. All those things are not very, very good to do, because in the end, it'll hurt you. In the end, it'll hurt you. Because your children are looking at you. They're saying, look at mom and dad. Look at mom and dad. Mom and dad is telling me to do good, but they're doing haram. Mom and dad is telling me I mustn't go here, go there, but I see what my dad is doing on the computer. Because kids know what's happening on the computer, and they can figure it out, which sites you are going to, who you're talking with, all these wrongful things. So the Quran is saying, وَلَا تَشْتَرُوا بِآيَاتِ ثَمَنًا قَلِيلًا. Whatever I've said, you must follow. Because if you start running behind the world and giving up the deen for the few dollars out there, then you are going to cause a lot of problems for yourself, for your children, for your society, and the community. And thereafter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِيَّايَ فَاتَّقُونَ, that fear only me. Don't fear anything besides me, because everything besides me is temporary in nature. Boss, temporary in nature. Family, temporary in nature. Police force, we respect them and we admire the great work they do, temporary in nature. Military, great planes, wonderful. We sometimes appreciate the swiftness of that technology, but it's temporary in nature. So Allah is saying, وَإِيَّايَ فَاتَّقُونَ, that believe in Allah in the proper way. Do not go towards kufr like other people. أَوَّلَ كَافِرٍ بِهِ. Number three, do not sell your iman for the little out there. And وَإِيَّايَ فَاتَّقُونَ, you are going to fear. Fear is part of us. Fear the right thing. Fear Allah in your choices. And by doing that, inshallah, Allah will give us benefit, not only in this world, but also inshallah, in the hereafter. Just to recap very, very briefly, today we spoke about how shaitan enticed Adam alayhi salam and Hawa alayhi salam to do that which is wrong. And because of that, they were kicked out of heaven. And it says, وَقُلْنَا هَبِطُوا بَعْضُكُمْ لِبَعْضٍ عَدُوٍ. And ever since that time period, there's always been conflict. In fact, in the children of Adam alayhi salam, you see one killing another. In that killing, as you know, the first killing was very strange. It took place. One killed the other. He didn't even know what to do after he killed that child, after he killed his brother. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends a crow. The crow scratches in the ground, and it shows basically to this insan that now that you have killed, make a hole and put the body inside. So from the beginning, we see this enmity. And also in the fitrah of insan, from that time, is not only enmity, is going to be shahwat, is going to be desire. Why did he kill? He killed his brother, we know why. He said, why must I marry that girl? I want to marry this one. She's more beautiful. So in insan, in the fitrah of insan will always, 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 whether he's young, whether he's old, whether she's young, whether she's old, she'll always be attracted to that which is beautiful. That's the fitrah of insan from the beginning of time. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, this is your beginning point of your existence. Now that you know your beginning point and how weak it is and how fragile it is and how inclined it is towards wrong, make good choices while you are living in this world. And if you make bad choices, make tawbah, and Allah will accept the tawbah. Also, فَإِمَّا يَأْتِيَنَّكُم مِّنِّي هُدَى, look for guidance. Guidance is out there. Quran is there. Hadith is there. Sunnah is there. Look at it. Use it for your benefit. Use it for the benefit of your family, for your society. And Allah says, if you do that, فَلَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ. After you made tawbah and you made good choices, then Allah says, I will guide you, and for you there won't be any fear. And for those that wish to reject, Allah says, they become ashabun nar, they become the companions of tremendous amount of pain, sometimes in this world, definitely in the hereafter, sometimes both in this world and in the hereafter. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala after changes the tune by talking about the Bani Israel. I gave them so much. The only one thing they had to do is fear me and follow my commands. And they chose not to do that. O believers, Allah is saying, you don't become like that. And the final ayah, it says, believe in what Allah has sent down. Believe in that which is good. Do not become amongst those that reject for a few dollars, for a few pennies. It's not worth it. Allah says, and to keep focus, وَإِيَّايَ فَاتَّقُونَ, fear Allah as Allah wishes to be feared. And that way, inshallah, you'll attain benefit not only in this world, but also, inshallah, the hereafter to come as well. May Allah help us and guide us at all times.
After that one.